Needless to say, the English word piety is ambiguous. It is not always a complimentary word to call somebody pious. The Latin word pietas means literally loyalty to the sources of our being. Loyalty to the sources of our being. There's loyalty of children to their parents. Loyalty of students to their teachers. Loyalty of citizens to the authorities in the state. Loyalty of Catholics to those over the years have provided them with the knowledge, understanding of the faith. But for us Catholics, although pietas as a word existed centuries before the rise of Christianity, loyalty basically means your loyalty of creatures to the Creator. Now, the Church's theological definition of piety. Piety is a supernatural gift which inclines us to the faithful practice of religion. Is a supernatural gift which inclines us to the faithful practice of religion. The moment we say that, we have to explain what we mean by religion. Religion is the practice of justice towards God. The first three commandments of the Decalogue are commandments of religion. The last seven are commandments of morality, to practice justice towards others. Now, as a supernatural gift, piety is a gift which inspires us to the practice of justice towards God and justice towards others because of our justice towards God. That is why the first three commandments of the Decalogue are the foundation for the last seven. Your practice justice towards others, covering the whole gamut of morality, only in the measure that we are practicing justice towards God. As I've said over the years, and keep repeating, one of the most important things as Catholics we should know is the meaning of the words we use as Catholics. Religion now has come to mean almost anything. this even atheism is not, dare I say it, a form of religion. Imply, therefore, in the gift of piety, as we understand what religion is. Religion presumes faith in a God who is creator. And let's be sure we know what creation means. Creation means that God made the world, including us, out of nothing. And the word is nothing. There is only one necessary being, and that is God. Everything and everyone else is, in the deepest sense, an unnecessary being, need not exist. Religion, therefore, presumes that with my mind I believe in a God who is the creator, therefore the maker of everything which exists, which, except for his loving omnipotence, would not be. And then piety is the gift which inspires us to the practice, therefore, of justice towards God and justice towards everyone else, because we are practicing justice towards God. Now, concretely, is still on the introduction. The gift of piety inspires us to respect, reverence everything which pertains to God. The gift of piety recognizes there are two kinds of creatures now in the world. There are what we call sacred, there are what we call profane creatures. Sacred persons, sacred places, sacred things. They are things which somehow pertain to or belong to God. In contrast, that which is profane belongs to the world. That which is profane is temporal. That which is sacred is eternal. And go back and try to clarify just what is this gift of piety. This is a gift which enables us to see God as not only our Creator and our Lord, but as our loving Father. This needs to be said. Over the years, from the 50s out into the late 90s, I have been teaching and writing about world religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Shinto. We need to recognize that Christianity, first of all, believes is only one God. All the non-Christian religions, without exception, except Judaism, which is authentic Judaism, and Islam, which is authentically Islamic. The rest of the world, that means most of the world, is polytheistic. Many gods. This gift of piety is founded on our faith in uncompromising monotheism. Call it one godism. This is the gift of piety in Christianity. Here on the heart, it is the gift that enables us to see God as not only, as already is our Lord, as our Creator, as the source from which we came and keep coming. God must exercise the same omnipotence to keep us in existence as he exercised, past tense, when he created our immortal souls and infused those souls into the fertilized woman provided by our mothers and fathers. God created an immortal soul from nothing at the moment of our conception. Mother's God must continue exercising, I repeat, the same almighty love to keep us in existence. But that's not all. The gift of piety enables us to see God not only as our continuing source from which we came and come, but also to see God as the destiny to whom we are going, for whom we exist. How important those prepositions are. We only believe we came from God. We believe we exist for God. And for God as our loving Father, who is both the source of our existence and the inheritance, the heritage, the destiny of our being. To believe what Christ tells us. You have received adoption as sons. Sons whereby we call and cry out, Abba, Father. God is our Father. And hear it. It is the teaching of the Church that everything in the created world has its most important purpose is to teach us the meaning of the truths of our faith. We speak of Father, we know, humanly speaking, who a father is. We know what a father's responsibilities are. And we know that a father is not only or even mainly a man. It is also and principally a verb. You fathers are to father your children and continue fathering them melody in time, but now I say it, into and in eternity. Consequently, this gift of piety has been given to us when we were baptized to foster in all of us a filial respect for and adore God with joy. Filial respect in Latin, the word for son is filius, or daughter is filial. Filial, therefore, is the adjective which describes the way in which we, as sons and daughters of God, are to react towards, respect, respond to the God who, I repeat, is our Father. Although I keep repeating, not only as the being from, but as the being for whom we are made. As Christ tells us, he went to heaven and he is there awaiting our joining in. We are still on the what of the gift of piety. This gift of piety is to foster in us a generous love for God as our Father, shown by our readiness to sacrifice. If I were in class, I would ask you, would somebody give me the four essential parts of sacrifice? When they ask these questions in class, they turn back to their notes to remind themselves. Say it out loud. Finish the sentence. The capacity of the mind to forget is
infinite.
Remember what sacrifice is. Voluntary surrender of something precious to God. That's what the gift of piety has been given to us for, to live lives of sacrifice. Sacrifice to the God who has given us everything that God could possibly give, including giving us himself. And giving us himself in the most, shall I say, dramatic way that God could invent, becoming man to give us his own flesh and blood united with his divinity as before the hour is over, he's gone. Make it now and then. We see Holy Communion. What does this gift of piety foster in our souls? Hear it, what a combination. It fosters in us affectionate obedience to God. Loving obedience. Over the years, from my first weeks as a novice in the Society of Jesus, we used to read once a month the letter of St. Ignatius on obedience. One of the statements that Ignatius makes in the letter is, it is not hard to obey when we obey whom we love. And my touch with the gift of piety provides our wills with the, shall I almost say, contradictory power of affectionate obedience. And we love the one to whom we submit our wills. One more sentence. Piety is the grateful loyalty to the source of our being, and we capitalize the word source. Grateful loyalty. As we saw, love builds on gratitude. This loyalty not only is something which we have briefly described, this loyalty is to be practiced. Why then is the gift of piety so important? Because we need to satisfy the duties of our Catholic religion. We have to practice adoration of God. I trust I've said this several times already. Make sure you know for the rest of your days, teach your children, you fathers, the knees were made for kneeling. No matter who says what to the contrary. In one of the dioceses in Canada, the bishop forbade all the people ever to kneel or genuflect during the sacrifice of the Mass. The missionaries of charity are told by rule to kneel during a good part of the Mass. So their chaplain related to them the decree, shall I call it, of the bishop. Being faithful to the charism of Mother Teresa, they kept kneeling. But Chuck reported that to the bishop. The bishop came and offered Mass for the missionaries of charity. Guess what? The sisters knelt. Smart member of the hierarchy. He kept his Episcopal mouth shut. All this world needs to recognize there are sacred persons, sacred actions, sacred places, sacred gestures, sacred objects, sacred pictures, sacred sculptures, I repeat, Father, Holy Father, well enough to say this. He is especially concerned about the widespread desacralization going on in countries like our own. see, first of all, you have a tabernacle in front of the church in Champion. Isn't that wonderful? If I were in Munich, I would say, that is wunderbar. I looked. Not only are there sacred paintings, do you see what I see? I see a statue there. I see a statue here. The stages of the cross are still on the walls. Not so. Antioch University and Jesuit University, all the stations of the cross have been removed from the chapel. Why, I'm asking you, why is the gift of piety so important? Because we living as we do in God, living as we also do, that there are persons, places, and things that are sacred because they mysteriously belong to God. We are therefore to venerate the angels, venerate the saints, show respect for sacred scripture, love the church. The church as the institution founded by Christ, by his death on the cross. And the churches, pray, beg the dear Lord to restore our churches to look like churches and not like meeting halls. Pray that our priests will look like priests, dressed and their priestly garb, and you know what's happened to tens of thousands of nuns. They moved their religious habit, and what's been the result? Empty novitiates. As I've said more than once, my Vatican superiors and the Vatican pulled out one large file drawer after another. All these communities in the United States will disappear. The lowest number will be 150 religious institutes of women in the United States will go out of existence. Let's be clear, is not in the emotions or feelings. Piety is a divine gift of the will. And we need to realize this, because when we pray, we may not feel. We may not feel pious. So what? In fact, listen to this. When we do God's will and we don't feel pious, we do God's will anyhow. We get more merit from God. Isn't that great? Because one of the norms, as we say, of merit is the difficulty we experience in doing what we know God wants. Dryness of spirit in prayer. Worry, anxiety. clogging our minds, and yet we pray. The distractions in our prayers are meant by God to be means of making our prayer more effective. Lord, we keep praying, even though the last thing on earth we want to do is pray. Midnight, want to say some prayers before the Blessed Sacrament. I dare not sit down, because in a few minutes I will fall asleep. I walk up and down to keep awake. Says St. Paul, my little children, of whom Paul is in labor until Christ, the Father is in you. And the gift of piety is indeed the practice of religion. But one of our duties in the practice of religion is to, and I mean this, to father, or Stephen, I would say, to mother children. I was 22 when I entered the Society of Jesus. As I've said so many times, dating a wonderful girl, we have the wedding date set. I wanted to be a father. However, and you fathers, listen to this. You are to father. You already have known wives. Your children physically into this world. But you are to father your children, not only and not even mainly, to just bring them into this world. You are the father then for the world that will never end. We are to be together as families. I'm looking forward to meeting the father that I never knew. He died when I was a year old. The gift of piety means we are to father offspring for heaven. As we said at the beginning of this retreat, I will repeat again. One of my hopes as a result of these conferences is not only to make your own lives more holy, but to make you more zealous in reproducing yourselves in spirit and hear it, a basic law of reproduction. And covers the whole of creation. Like reproduces alike. Pardon me for saying this. Cows reproduce cows. Dogs reproduce dogs. Elephants reproduce elephants. human beings reproduce human beings. Saints reproduce saints. You fathers, both the natural fathers of children and fathers, now priests, we are to reproduce ourselves. Reproduce ourselves, I repeat, and insist, and underline, not only in name, to produce children in this world, we are to reproduce ourselves for children into the endless ages of eternity. Hear it. Grace is reproductive. Only believers reproduce believers. People reproduce humble people. Only chaste people reproduce chaste offspring. Only prayerful people reproduce prayerful sons and daughters. And those sons and daughters, not only in body, otherwise, I would have married the Josephine who had a marriage date already planned. We are to reproduce ourselves in spirit and not just for the immediate offspring, so that you natural fathers brought into this world, but your children's children. Your children's children's children. And long after we have left this world in body, our offspring is to be reproduced not only in body, but reproduced in spirit. Responsibility we have, all of us, both the married and, as we say, the single, all those, most of us here, who are laypersons, and those of us who are priests, we are to reproduce ourselves in spirit, and I repeat the law of reproductivity. Like reproduces like. How? And the how? I keep looking at the clock. If only the clock would stop. But no, it keeps running. Gifts we receive must be cooperated with. To the last meditation of this retreat, I will keep insisting we have a free will and give the most gracious gifts of God. We'll even remain in our souls, even the gifts of the Holy Spirit will remain in our souls only if we use our wills to cooperate with God's grace. I repeat, even to keep these gifts, not to say grow in the gifts. All we have to do is commit a mortal sin and we've lost all seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. How then are we to grow in this precious gift of piety? First, frequently reflect on the great goodness of God in your lives. The greatness of God. Over the years now, 26 years, I'm going to New Mexico for an average of 2 weeks to give conferences and a retreat to the handmaids of the precious blood. No smoke in the air. I walk around at night. Watch my steps. Looking into the sky. Clear sky. The stars. Sky. Studded with stars, millions of light years away from us. Oh, the greatness of God. How a man like St. Francis of Assisi can teach us how to grow in the gift of piety. He saw God, as we know, in the simple flowers of the field, in the birds of the air, the animals walking on the earth. The greatness of God, the wisdom of God. As I think I've told you, finished my doctoral studies in biochemistry. You know what? Why my doctoral dissertation? Because I was sent to Rome to get a doctorate in theology. Just to know the composition of matter, the wisdom of God in the atom, the proton, the neutron. How we need to admire and adore God through the creatures that He put into our lives. Let I repeat. Is putting our gift of piety into practice. We are told by sacred scripture to exercise yourself unto godliness. Our purpose here on earth is to become more and more like God. If we become more and more like God, the more and more we become like Jesus Christ, who became man for this precise purpose, and by imitating His virtues which He practices as man, His patience, His humility, His chastity. He might thereby, by imitating Christ's virtues as man, become more and more like Jesus Christ, who is God. We have received extraordinary gifts from God. And the secret, I recommend not just reading, but memorizing the Magnificat of Our Lady. The perfect prayer for the practice of the gift of piety. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. How are we to grow in this gift of piety by never for one split second take credit for anything we possess? As I have said, I'll keep repeating to my dying day. The moment a self-admiring thought occurs in your mind, wither away. The moment you begin to, and I've got 10 minutes, I will repeat them. Paying attention to ourselves. Admiring ourselves. And the final aid is adoring ourselves. As I've said so often, the non-Christian religions over the centuries have been mainly polytheistic. But in countries like ours, the non-Christian religion is monotheistic, strictly one God, and we write the pagan English language, in which, can you imagine, how dare we capitalize the first person pronoun? Many letters I now receive from persons I have taught, their letters will always put I, lowercase, with a dot over the eye. Oh, I admire that. Lord Jesus, how we need to grow in this priceless gift of piety. This gift which enables us to enjoy our surrender of will to your divine will. Give us, we beg you, that you will be impossible grace to embrace the cross when your divine will crosses our will, because we love it. We love you, our God, and we are happy when you want us to give up the most precious gift we possess, our will, your divine.